generation. Tradition provides a sense of identity with our history. You really become aware of who you are when you look at what your culture and your history was. You understand who you are when you look at your history, and you become knowledgeable about your own self. But tradition in its pure state, listen to me, the pure state of tradition is essential, good, and necessary. Sometimes people have a bad attitude towards tradition. There's a reason why many of us are challenging traditions, why we have difficulties in some of the traditions that we encounter in our generation. Hallelujah. You with me? Here is the practical definition of the word tradition. Tradition comes from the word trade, literally means trade, trading. The word literally comes from the concept to trade something. A tradition is a product of reality and truth, and a person and a culture or a nation that they consider essential. So tradition is something that you consider it's essential and nice for you to pass on to your generation that comes after you. When you consider something that becomes really important to you, and it's you think that it's really acceptable, then you pass that on to your generation, whether it's true or not. Hallelujah. And that's the danger, my friends. A tradition is got to be checked. Example, the culture of racism. You don't born to become a racist. You're never born to be a racist. Somebody taught you to be a racist. Racism is not, you don't born with that thing. You're taught. It's a cultured tradition. Every generation becomes a racist. It's a tradition which is eating away at our society. So all persons that walking around being a racist didn't know about this until somebody told them about it. Somebody passed it on to them. And they received that thing, not even checking it to make sure it's true. They believed it and moved in the tradition. And for this time that we've lived in now, it's eating away in our society, in our culture, and especially in this country. Hallelujah. And it's time for us Christians, people that says we are follower of Christ, to start to question some of those things that you've been taught in school, even in universities, even your professors. Hallelujah. Example, there's a story, it's an amazing story of a friend of mine that used to work in PNG with the Navy. And his children were born in PNG, they grew up in PNG. They went to an old black school, and there was a photo of one little kid in the photo amongst all these black kids. One little white guy sitting there amongst all these little black kids. And the father said to the little girl, said, can you point to where your brother is? And she's looking at the picture for hours and couldn't find her brother. She said, I don't know, where is he? Can you imagine that? There's nothing inside of her that tells her there is a color in there that you're gonna look for. She's like, I can't see her, Dad. And then they had to point the little boy out amongst all these black kids. And she goes, oh, gee, he really blends in with everybody. That's from a little girl that has never been taught racism. That's an example for you today. Therefore, traditions are an experience, actual factual things that happen, that people who experience them decided that this is worth preserving and transferring it to the next generation that comes. Church, this is our biggest problem. The church of God, the true church of God, that Jesus said, that I will build my church and no gates of hell shall prevail. That is not the church we're living in anymore, my friends. And there is a question that you and I, as followers of Christ, must start to sit up and say, God, where have we gone wrong? We've allowed every little part of the world to creep into the church and into the Word of God and water down everything. And the Word of God does not have any power anymore. Why? Because Christians are living a double standard life. There's part of the world in them and there's part of God inside of them. Hallelujah. All traditions find their roots in what? Fact, truth, and reality. Traditions are designed or created by man originally for the purpose of capturing and preserving an experience or truth to transfer it to the next generation. It's about time we, Church of Jesus Christ, start to question tradition, start to check tradition, start to find out what is the truth about certain traditions. The key point here is this: if you understand the purpose of tradition, then you will understand what tradition should be. The true essence of tradition is a means to an end. A tradition was given to us not to worship the tradition, but to find out why the tradition is bringing to us. What truth is the tradition bringing to us? If a tradition brings you false, then it is invalid. But if a tradition brings you the truth, then that is the tradition that you must look at and find out the truth behind the tradition. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Have you heard this message before? This is a good one. Hallelujah. So example, so it's tradition that we are transferring to our children. Whatever we teach up on our children's church must be the tradition and the truth of God transferred to our young people. You want to build a generation of a mindset change people that look at God and say, God, you are holy and you're righteous. And we, the new generation, must walk blameless before God. That's the kind of tradition that you and I should be raising up in this church. Hallelujah. I don't know where you came from, but if you're in this church, you know the road that we're going in is to correct the church, to bring the church back to where Paul wanted it to be, to where God wanted it to be. Hallelujah. So, the big question is, when does tradition become dangerous? Now remember, tradition is a necessary product that captures, preserves truth that can be traded to the next generation. If the tradition brings truth, then transfer it to your children. But tell them about the truth, why this tradition, why we do this. Why do we do that? Children, young people must stand up and go, hang on a minute, what have you handed me? What is this? Do I know the meaning of this? Let me just check what the Bible says about this. You and I as parents are responsible for the generation that we're raising up. Hallelujah. We are living in a confused generation right now, especially when it comes to Christmas. The goal of tradition is to preserve, to protect, and to deliver experience and establish truth from one generation to the next. Therefore, tradition is only valid when it delivers what? The original truth. When the tradition provides the original truth, that is a valid tradition that we must look at and follow. That means the minute tradition stops delivering to you the original truth, that tradition has become invalid, dangerous, and we must check it. Every Christian, every person that says, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, check it. Make sure it's the right thing that you're following. Make sure it's the right thing that you're putting up in your house. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen to that. Oh, don't go quiet on me now. This is a good message to keep, start to get us thinking about certain things. Traditions can become the burial ground of truth. It's a graveyard of truth when we stick to tradition that we haven't checked. So ladies and gentlemen, when traditions take place of truth, it's supposed to deliver, that tradition is now dangerous. When a tradition takes place of a truth that it's supposed to deliver, then that tradition is dangerous. It's taken the place of truth. And that's really what the message is today. It saddens God to see that man have confused the tradition with the truth it's supposed to deliver. God's greatest problem with mankind is this: man's constant tendency to make the method become the message. We are so good at making the method of certain things become the message. And we forget the message and focus on the method. That's our problem, my friends, in the church today. Every time God communicates with a man, he has to use something. What happens is we begin to worship what he used and didn't receive what he's supposed to deliver. Samson, when he took on the jawbone of the donkey and he slayed all his enemies, he didn't keep on to that. The Bible says, and he what? Threw it away. The anointing for today is not the same as the anointing for yesterday. Samson didn't keep the jawbone. People will be worshiping the jawbone. Build a monument around it. That is our problem today. God is constantly having difficulties trying to separate the messenger from the message. We listen to the messenger, but we never get the message. That's the problem with Christmas. Hallelujah. In Matthew, this is not a new problem. This problem is an age-old problem, like in the Garden of Eden. You remember the story of Jesus, the Transfiguration on the Mount. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 to 5. This is a good example. Verse 1 says, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them," the Bible says. "His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light." And verse 3 says, "And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them and talking with him." Now listen to what Peter says. And that is a common problem with men today and churches today. In verse 4, Peter says, "Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.'" In other words, "Let us build a monument right here so that we can come back to this spot and worship this spot every time." Sounds familiar? Hallelujah. I love the voice from heaven. The Father didn't wait for Peter to finish speaking. He cut in. That you need to understand this. The Father speaking, immediately he spoke. He says, while he was still speaking, it's like God just stand up and says, "Shut up, Peter." That's how he said, "Shut up," in a nice way. While he was still speaking, the Bible says, "Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" And the next word says what? "Hear him." Don't look at what's happening here. Listen to my Son. In other words, stop talking and listen to him. Keep your focus on him. Don't build nothing here. Listen to what the man is saying. Don't build a monument and all this other stuff here. I don't care about that. He said, "Listen to my Son. He's the one that we should be listening to. Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. In other words, God is saying it has got nothing to do with Moses or Elijah or monuments and tabernacles. It's got everything to do with my Son, Jesus Christ. Everything. Tradition is vulnerable because it can become the message. We listen to the tradition, we are going to be in trouble. God literally told the disciples, "Will you just shut up, please, and listen to my Son?" Do you know why I believe God said shut up to Peter in a nice way? In verse 5, he said it. He says, while he was still speaking, God cut in and said, "Peter, shh, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. Don't look at Elijah. Don't look at Moses. Don't build a tabernacle or monument. Listen to him. Listen to the message that come from my Son, Jesus." Friends, we must understand that God's continuous problem with humanity is that man keeps making the method the message. Denominations are product of experiences and were made into doctrines. Every denomination, whether it's Baptist, Anglican, Methodist, Catholic, Lutheran, whatever you are, maybe you are or maybe never used to be, that is not even known in heaven, my friends. God doesn't know a Baptist or a Catholic or a Lutheran or a Charismatic. He doesn't know all that. That doesn't even exist in heaven. Heaven knows nothing about a Baptist. There is no such thing as a Lutheran in the Bible. You tell God you're a Catholic, he says, "What are you again?" You say, "I'm a Seventh-day Adventist." God says, "You're what?" These are experiences of men that men built, and now we're worshiping those things. We identify ourselves with those things and become, "Oh, I'm this, that person, this, that." He says, "Shut up and listen to Jesus." Heaven knows nothing about a Baptist. God knows nothing about those terminologies that we use to identify one another, because all of them are products of people's what? Experience that we adapt into doctrine, and they become what? Traditions themselves. We're stuck with traditions. Stop arguing about doctrines and scriptures. Listen to him. Amen. Hallelujah. God is bigger than your past experience, so don't trip God into your experience and build a monument around it. God is not interested in that. He's bigger than your past experience. Hallelujah. I used to be a Catholic boy. I had to question why I'm constantly confessing my sin to this man. I had to question why I'm constantly coming up and following this ritual. I said, "Hang on a minute, where's God in this?" And they point me away from Jesus and point me to Jesus' mother. I'm saying, hang on a minute, something's wrong here. Check your tradition. Make sure that it brings you the truth. And the truth is no other truth than Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's only Him and Him alone. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody goes to the Father except through me. And nobody comes to the Father except He's brought in by the Spirit of God. That's why you don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Because it will be your hand when you talk against the Holy Spirit. He's the one that brings you to salvation. Without the Holy Spirit, nothing can happen. And you can sit in the, you say, no, you're not, because your heart is not right with God, and God's been knocking at the door all this time, and you're still refusing to walk into the door that Jesus says, I am. The Bible says your conscience is sheared like an iron. You don't feel anything anymore. There's no conviction happening inside your heart anymore. My friends, if you're at that place, you're in trouble. Martin Luther had a personal revelation. It was a personal revelation that Martin Luther had in that monastery. But we have now named the whole denomination around Luther. Luther would be turning in his grave right now to see that his revelation has been worshipped. And they've put a name and a denomination around, and we are Lutherans now. Do I look like a Lutheran? How do you identify somebody that's a Catholic and a Lutheran? John Wesley had a personal experience with God. Wesley didn't come with a new method. He had a personal baptism in the Holy Spirit. He danced in the Spirit like David did. He spoke in tongues, hallelujah. He had this personal experience in God. And they put a title around it and build a monument around it. People experienced the power of the Holy Spirit during Wesley's time. Wesley's experience, God has got greater experience than that. Hallelujah. So stop focusing on Wesley's experience. Focus on what God is going to be doing in our own personal experience and life with Him. Here's a warning for you. God is bigger than the method Wesley experienced. If you've never had an experience in God, then you need to start praying. Say, God, I need to have this experience. I need the gifts of the Spirit. Crave for the gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. God is not a Catholic, a Methodist, a Baptist, or a Lutheran, or a Seventh-day Adventist. God is bigger than your name tag. He's too big to fit into your methods. God told Moses, I am who I am, I am. And everything that I do, whether I like it or not, I am still I am. I got no name tag. I'm God. That's who I am. Hallelujah. Whatever I need to be, that is it. I am God. Jesus addressed that in the issue in Matthew chapter 15, the idea of making the ends or means as an end. When God gives you a message, you shouldn't fall in love with the messenger and ignore the message. The message is important for us, church. We must focus on the message. What is the message? Do you know how many people around the world during this season, Christmas, they love Jesus at this time? They sing nice carols and they don't even want to hear nothing about Christ. Worldly musicians making Christmas albums and singing about the God that they don't even believe in. And they're doing all these things just for the sake of making some money. Nobody wants to listen to the message. Shops are selling all this stuff. We all get up, caught up in Christmas presents and Christmas trees and all the other stuff. We forget the message. What is the message? You hear some of the most ungodly musicians making Christmas albums and singing about Jesus, saying He's Savior, and after the new year comes, they don't want to even hear about Christ anymore. It's just for that season only. Let's make some quick money. Let's just use that tradition up. It's a tradition. Let's just buy some presents, put it under a Christmas tree, and a fat guy called Santa Claus is just going to turn up. Come on, we're going to start challenging our children and tell them the truth about what Christmas really is. Start disappointing your children this morning. My children are already disappointed a long time ago. They don't get presents at Christmas. They don't get nothing in Christmas. They get presents every other day. If they ask me something, yes, I'll buy it for them. Not in Christmas and not on birthdays. You get everything you need any time of the day, anytime you need it. Break some traditions in your life today, my friends, and raise up a new generation of new thinkers in Christ and saying Christmas is about this Jesus Christ. It's nothing else. Jesus addressed this issue with the religious leaders in Matthew chapter 15, verse 1 to 10. And the Bible says, then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. Why do your disciples transgress what? The tradition of the elders. For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Here's the word of warning to you. Not because the elders keep it because it's right. Just because some elder keeps some tradition, you thought, oh, we have to follow that because he's an elder. Check where that elder got that message from. Check him good. Don't respect him because he's an elder and you flow into all his other stuff. That's our problem, my friends. I respect my elders, yes. But I got to check the kind of message they bring to me. Because I'm the one that's going to transfer that message to the generation of children I bring up into this world. So they come up with the original age-old argument. Elders' traditions are being broken by your disciples. Watch Jesus now. I love Jesus. I love Jesus and Peter. Hey. Jesus and Peter are just two amazing people. Peter just shoots his mouth off. Jesus corrects him every time. Watch Jesus. Verse 3 says, he answered and said to them, why do you always transgress the commandment of God because of your traditions? God says, how come you're so serious about keeping yours to the point where you violate God's? That's really what he's saying. How come you're so serious about your tradition and you're violating God's word because of the tradition? And remember, it's a 400-year-old tradition. From Malachi to Matthew, there was a 400-year gap before Christ came in. And Christ had to deal with the 400-year-old generation. Stuck tradition that the people are stuck in. Verse 4, for God commanded saying, honor your father and your mother. Jesus takes them back to the traditions and then told them where they broke it. Oh, I love my teacher. He takes them back to their traditions. That's why he said, I have not come to abolish your tradition. I've come to fulfill it, everything. I've not come to abolish law. I've come to fulfill it. He took them back to their tradition and they told him where they went wrong. And he said, you dare to question me and my disciples? Look at you. Hallelujah. I am the Word. How can you come? They're talking to the Word of God. The Word was flesh and dwells among them, and they didn't even know. Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. That's what Jesus said. That's your law. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift from God. This is what the Jews were doing. Some of them were using God as an excuse not to bless the mother and father. They used the gifts that they receive from, that's what Jesus was talking about. He says, you claim to say that you must honor your mother and your father, but yet you're doing this. You get money and your gift and you got all these possessions and all this stuff. And you said, no, it's God's. I need to keep it. And you don't bless your mother and your father with it. That's what Jesus was questioning their own law. He said, you said that you should honor your mother and your father, yet you are actually using this and not blessing your mother and your father with it. Yeah. Verse 5 says, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift from God. Some Jewish people of Jesus' day were doing that. Their way of going around so that they don't have to look after their parents. Oh no, that's for God. That's a gift. It's a common excuse. Jesus said, I don't care. Honor your mother and your father. And he says, so that you will have long life. If they declared all their possessions or savings were a gift from God that was specially dedicated to him, they could say that their resources were available to help. It's not available to help parents. That's what Jesus was dealing with. So he brought them to God's law. Then he showed them how they changed everything to suit their what? Own traditions. Hallelujah. Then he says, therefore, you have made the commandment of God to no effect by your traditions. That's the problem, my friends. The word of God is made to no effect in the church, whether you like it or not, the charismatic, a Pentecostal church, born-again Christians, making the word of God to a no effect because of traditions. Now we need to sit up and say, okay, what is it that we are still connected to that we need to get rid of so that the word of God can become powerful in our life and can take effect in our life? Hallelujah. Then he made the most famous statement in verse 8. He says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines and commandments of what? Man. My friends, we are not here to build a church for man. We are not here to please man. We are not here. We are here to build the kingdom of God. That is the only thing I am interested in. That is the kingdom of God. And the constitution of our kingdom is this thing you call the Bible. That, my friends, is what I'm interested in. I am not interested in doctrines and what you think about the scripture and what you think about the scripture. God says, walk blameless before him. That's the prerequisite of being in the kingdom. Bible's got a word for those that talk like that. Argue over scriptures. He brought them to God's law and then he showed them everything to suit that they did to suit their traditions. Hallelujah. Strong words. When tradition replaces truth and attempts to become the truth, it must be challenged. Because if we don't challenge tradition, we could be living a lie, my friends. That's the danger, if we don't challenge traditions. There are people who pray over their food and do this and don't even know where it came from. You ask somebody, what is that? He says, I don't know, I just see somebody do that, so I'm just doing it. The world is using it. They don't believe in God, but they're still doing this. But this came from a deep revelation that someone had with God. And when he prayed, he meant what he prayed and did. But now it's been used by every kind of person now, and they don't even know what it is. It may sound funny, but it's become a tradition. And I always wonder, why am I confessing my sins to this priest? He didn't say nothing about going to a priest. He said everything about going to Christ Jesus, confessing your sins to Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen to that. Come on. Touch your neighbor and says, this is good message. Tap him on the back, on the shoulder. This is good stuff. Generations who do not challenge tradition always transfer ignorance to one another. If you do not challenge tradition, you will transfer ignorance to the next generation. And God is concerned about that. Listen to Jesus questioning those scribes and Pharisees who have been so ingrained in tradition for 400 years. Hallelujah. By the time he showed up, the elders of the church had already crafted and integrated a complicated tradition on how to reach God. Even before Jesus came, they already told everybody, this is how you go to God. Between Malachi and Matthew, 400 years of tradition that the people were teaching, that the Pharisees and the teachers were teaching the people, and the people were stuck. And Jesus said, you can't even get in, and you're blocking everybody from getting in. And they're saying to God, you are disturbing the traditions of the elders. He answered and said to them, why do you always transgress the commandment of God because of your traditions? I like Jesus. He always answers a question with a question. when they said to him, so which authority are you preaching? He says, well, let me just ask you another question. He questions your question. If you ignore the original intent of a tradition, you will never experience the reality it was intended to deliver. The transfer of ignorance is the sacrifice and a betrayal of a generation, my friends. When you're transferring ignorance, you are destroying a whole generation of people. God made a statement again in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 6, and I love that. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, listen to this, I also will reject you from being priests unto me, priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will what? Forget your children. This is dangerous, my friends. If you teach your children ignorance, or you receive ignorance from somebody, and you teach your children ignorance, then God will not only reject you, but he will reject your children as well. That's strong words. God says, if you're dumb and you train your children dumb things, then I must have to reject them. The truth in the scripture must not be ignored, my friends. Do you ever hear this saying, as long as we are all worshiping the same God, I am not the worshiping the same God as a Catholic. Let me tell you this. I'm not worshiping the same God as any. That's why God says, they worship me in vain. But their hearts are not in it. Don't put me in the same category as a Catholic or a Lutheran or a Baptist. No, I am a kingdom of God person. Hallelujah. Oh, it doesn't matter as long as it's sincere. That's the problem with us. As long as it's sincere, it's fine. They're doing the right thing. God is not into right things. God is into the truth, my friends. He's always interested in truth and not anything right. We can waste time doing things with the right attitude and the right motive, but doing the wrong things at the wrong time. Right things, God is not interested in. The truth is what God is interested in. 2 Timothy verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 15. He says, be diligent to present yourself approved, a worker, approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You can be in a thing and thought it was right until you read the Bible. Hallelujah. When I read the Bible, I thought, what were they telling me in that church over there? When you read the Bible, the truth will set you free. Bible says, you shall hear the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. If you find something that's false, then it won't set you free. But the moment you come against truth, hallelujah, then it sets you free. Man, I was set free from all that religion. I thought, my goodness, why did I waste my time in there? Because I respect my father in his tradition, we all have to go and do that. We all have to go and do that. It's all tradition now. Just follow tradition. Don't question anybody. Just follow the tradition. Until I read the Bible. Now, my goodness. You can be zealous, wrong. Zealously wrong. Just like Paul, the apostle. He was zealously and what? Sincerely wrong until he met Christ on the road to Damascus. There are some people who are excited about the wrong things and you can't stop them. And the sad thing is they believe the wrong things that they're excited about. I used to be one of those ignorant ones that talked against the charismatic movement because I was in a tradition that taught me that there's the only true church. But when God took hold of me, hallelujah, when I had my Damascus experience with God, transformed myself, I was renewed by the transforming of my mind, hallelujah. He gave me the greatest privilege not to just know him, but to experience the power as well at the same time, making sure that everything that happened in my experience with the Holy Spirit was aligned with the Word of God. When God gives you an experience or anything, a miracle, anything, align it with the Word of God. If it doesn't align, walk away from it. Everything that God does to you must align with His Word. And I thank God that the experience that He took me through, you cannot study that in Bible college or sit under anybody to study. You got to experience it hands on. And you follow the fathers who have been before us. And they teach us all these things, not from anything, but just from what God has been teaching them. And when you have an experience about these things, there's no one can talk against you. Nobody can go against your experience. Hallelujah. If it's genuine and true from God, aligned with the Word, then nobody can take that away. Hallelujah. It's like a pearl. When you find this pearl, you guard this pearl. Don't give it to nobody who's going to trample on it. Keep it to yourself. If they want to meddle around with arguing with scriptures, leave them. There's a pearl inside of you that doesn't belong to nobody. Listen, that's why people come against speaking in tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't argue with them. I never argue with them. Why? I used to be there. I used to be the one arguing about these things until God gave me an experience like He gave Paul. Oh, hallelujah. Totally transformed my mindset. My heart, my life was changed forever. And you cannot take that away from me. It's a pearl inside of me. Listen to me carefully. You can argue a man's philosophy, but you can never argue his experience. You can argue about what he says and what he does, but you cannot argue his experience. Why? Because his experience truly expresses something in God that is genuinely according to the word of God. So it doesn't give you any right to sit down and criticize anybody. Have that experience first before you can talk against people. Hallelujah. If you have never experienced it, shut your mouth or you will be blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And you don't want to do that. Somebody say amen to that already. Hallelujah. Some of you used to be dead in the doornails in your religion. And when God set you free, my goodness, you now know everything and you want to talk against everybody. Shh. Jesus said, Bible says, shut up. This is my son. Hear him. That's all you hear. You don't hear anybody else. Read your Bibles. God speaks to you in his word. Pray. Ask God. The Holy Spirit will give you revelations and teach you things. That is why you don't waste time quarreling with people who have never experienced genuine supernatural things of God. They don't understand and will not understand. So don't waste your time. I walk by one of the greatest principles that Jesus taught me. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 6 says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under your feet and turn and tear you to pieces. I don't sit down and argue with people about scriptures. I don't talk about people and argue scriptures. I let them argue on this stuff. I don't go online and write scriptures down and argue with people. I don't do that. Why? I've got a pearl inside of me. An experience that nothing can take. Argue and God's scriptures will never take that away from me. I know the truth. And the truth has set me free from every rubbish. To be sincerely wrong is fine. But to be zealously wrong, like Paul, oh, hallelujah, it's dangerous. There are some folks, they got this excitement about their wrongness and they want everyone to listen to their wrongness. And they start ministering to people on a wrong anointing. Everybody wants to do something without hearing from God first. Romans 10, Paul addressed the issue on zealous ignorance when he made a point that those religious leaders again in his days. In Romans 10, verse 1 to 4, says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for you, for Israel, he says, rather, is that they may be saved. For I bear witness that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. There's a zeal on fire for God, but no knowledge. You can have all the word knowledge and know every scripture and quote scriptures, but if there's a spirit of the word is not in you, then you are leading people astray. You better stop and go back to God and say, God, I'm sorry. Listen to Jesus. Listen to what he's saying. Don't be zealous about your wrongness. Too much head knowledge is not good. Study the word and get the spirit of the word inside of you first before you can go and speak about it. Now here's the famous saying again that the people used to justify themselves. Oh, as long as they're sincere and serious about what they're doing, God will forgive them. Rubbish. God is not looking for your right things. God is looking for truth and people who stand on truth and people who walk in truth and people who walk in blameless and righteousness before God. Why? Because he is holy. That's it. When I understand God is holy, then that's it. That answers every question. Go back to Genesis and study why he didn't come into the world to save the world, because he had already said, I give them dominion. That's a decree from God. And he will never break his word. He says, even if you're unfaithful, I must still be faithful to my word. That is your God, my friend. When you understand that kind of God, then you know you're worshiping the true God. He is no schizophrenia that he changed something yesterday and changed his mind today and it's all over the place. How can you believe in a word of God if your God is like that? Hallelujah. Oh, it's sincere. It's fine. No, my friends. Time to question tradition. Time to question things that have been thrown into your family. It's destroying your family and you don't even know about it. It's destroying a generation and you don't even know about it. My child comes back. My son comes back. He says, Dad, my friends don't believe in God. And I said, it's fine. You believe in God, and that's good. That's all you need to worry about. Don't worry about them. You believe in God? Yes, Dad, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Good. That's it. And he says, I don't believe in Santa. Good. Then you won't be getting any presents. Oh, that's fine. That's my family. I've taught them that there is no Santa. There is no Christmas tree. There is no all this other stuff that you want to think it's real. It's not. Go back to the original purpose of why we are celebrating the season. We read in the next line. Paul says in verse 3, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their what? Their own righteousness, have not admitted or submitted to the righteousness of God. Sounds familiar? Tradition. They say, since we don't know how to get to God, let us create our own way to get to God. And it became a tradition. And a lot of people went to hell following traditions. Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to anyone who believes. He is saying these people are so zealous, but not according to the truth. Therefore, they were what? Earnestly, sincerely, zealously wrong. Paul was like that. He was hell-bent to take everybody out. He was zealous, sincerely, zealously, and wrong about everything. Until God said, I need this man. This man has got some fire in him that I need. I need to change his life right now. Hallelujah. And when God got all of Paul, I'm telling you, he turned around and his zealousness was on God. Christ Jesus. And he constantly changed the church, spoke to the church, correcting the church. All of the New Testament was Paul talking and correcting the people, bringing them back to the original church. That's Paul. That's the zealousness of righteousness that you should have as Christians and as people who claim to be Christ followers. Hallelujah. I'm zealous about this now. I'm zealous about correcting, getting the church back to where it's supposed to be. I said, God, if it's my season or my time for that, then use me. Use me. Use me to speak the truth. Correct me first and then use me. Check me first and then use me. Hallelujah. That's the kind of prayer you should be praying. They were zealous, but not according to truth. Tradition must serve truth. It has to be the servant of truth and not truth itself. Tradition must be what? A servant of truth. It must never replace truth. Truth is truth. Naked truth. You put clothes on it, it's still truth. You take clothes off it, it's still truth. Doesn't move for nobody. You move it to Zimbabwe, bring it to Africa, bring it to Australia, it's still truth. Truth doesn't change for nobody. Principles of God doesn't respect you. You respect the principles of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Traditions can take us into truth or it can take us into error. That is why we must be careful not to make the traditions the end of everything. Check it. Check whatever tradition. Go back home and say, hang on a minute. Okay, somebody told me this. Check it with the Word of God. Go and study Christmas. Study Satan's claws or Santa Claus. You know, God gave me that one. God said, that's Satan's claws. It's just all over my original truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give God a praise this morning. Check it. And then teach your children. Let's break this generation. Teach a new generation of young people. They will come up. And you watch. You are going to be in charge of a totally new generation of people. You may not see it now in your time, but you will hear about it in heaven. Hallelujah. When you're in heaven, God says, remember you were talking straight to your children? Look at the generation now. Hallelujah. We may not see it in our time, but I'm encouraging you and I'm charging you, church. Do it now. Do it now. Start with your family. Amen. The key to tradition is not tradition, but its intentions. In other words, it is not the tradition, but it was intended to deliver. Let me just close by saying this. The biggest tradition on Christmas, biggest tradition on earth, planet earth, is Christmas. I'm talking about everybody celebrating something. Everybody's talking about peace, then singing about holidays. Happy holidays. What a lot of rubbish is that? Happy holidays. Season's greetings. What is all this rubbish? Come on. Sit up straight and let's deal with this tonight, this morning. We're followers of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Season's greetings. Happy holidays. Rubbish. Don't write those things. God bless you. Jesus loves you and thank you. That's how you write on the Christmas card and send it to people. Jesus is the real truth of this season. He's the one. Even though the day's not right, we'll get the days right yet. Amen. We're going to stop celebrating Christmas on the 25th. You watch. Oh, hallelujah. Now, sit up straight now. Oh, I'm getting excited about this. You watch when you get everything into line with what God wants. And you watch His church move. You watch the church that Jesus said, I will build my church and no gates of hell shall prevail against it. You watch, my friends. When you start bringing those little things into line and checking the truth behind them. Yeah. And it's going to start with Christmas. Why? It's a Christmas message for you today. If you miss Wednesday, that's yours now. It's a new one too. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm excited. That's right, my friends. Check your Bibles. They use your verses to celebrate their idea of Christmas. They use the nice words of the Christmas season. Everyone gets into this tradition. Why? Because they worship the tradition. Tradition has become the truth to the people instead of the real intention of the message and the truth. Christmas has been removed from its original truth, yet Christians are saying, oh, well, as long as it's sincere. Listen to me. God doesn't care about your sincerity. God cares about your truth about what He wants. God is not talking about sincerity. He's talking about the truth. The further the tradition is removed from its original truth, the more dangerous it becomes to the next generation. Who are we bringing up here today? Who are we raising up today? Rule the line now and say, no, God, I'm going to raise up a new generation of people. Amen. Judges, it is possible for a whole generation of children born and grown not even knowing about God. And He said that in the book of Judges, in chapter 2, verse 10 to 14. He says, after the whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation, He says, grew up who knew neither the Lord or what He had done for Israel. It is possible for us to destroy generations if we don't tell them about the truth. Church, it is very important for us to know that we don't just hand our kids tradition, but tell them the truth behind the tradition. So that they don't fall just in love with the tradition, but know the truth behind the tradition. Because you don't want to end up living a zealous lie. We have a generation living in zealous lie, believing something that's not true, but zealous about it. Jesus Christ expressed this one of His major goals when He came to earth, and He made a statement in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. He says, do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but what? To fulfill. In the original Greek language, which it was written in, it literally means this way. I didn't come to eradicate the laws, but the prophets, or and the prophets, but the prophets and the prophecies that the prophets made. I have come, what? To put back the spirit into the law. That's really what He's saying. Bringing the Spirit back into the law. Bringing the Spirit back into the Word. Amen. Word doesn't change you. The Spirit behind the Word changes you. Amen. You can quote Scriptures and be so knowledgeable about Scriptures, but you can't understand it unless the Holy Spirit tells you. I have come not to do this. He says, I have come not to do it, but to put it back in relationship with it. With its original intent. He says there's a law and bring the Spirit back. The original intent of this is to direct you back to God. Amen. Bring you back to God. And then He went on to list all the examples. He says, for example, in your generation, you say, thou shalt not commit murder. In other words, when you shoot or stab someone or knife somebody, that's you call it murder. He says, in my tradition, The kingdom says, even if you just think about it, if it's inside your heart, you've just killed somebody. Whoa. But God really, if you hate and wish he was dead, you've just murdered him. You say when a man commits adultery is when a man is discovered in bed with someone. He says, but that's your tradition, he says. But in my tradition, in my kingdom, it says if you wish to be with somebody, you already commit adultery. That is kingdom, my friends. That is the kingdom of God. When we say that, when we put that into place. Now, you know, our traditions are more comfortable than the truth. We love traditions because it's really comfortable. For no one to know that you are committing adultery in your mind is very comfortable. But when you get caught, it's very uncomfortable. Therefore, God is constantly, literally taking us back from what? Tradition to truth. And it was supposed that the truth was supposed to deliver. That's the truth, he says. If you even think about it, that's the truth. You don't even have to do it yet. Matthew chapter 19, verse 8, and I'll finish with that. Why then, they say, they always try to catch Christ all the time. And it's like many of us too, arguing with scripture. Why then, they ask, did Moses order a man to give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? Listen to what Jesus said. Listen to his comeback. Jesus answered, it was because your hardness of your heart that Moses permitted you to divorce your wife. But it was, hear his word again, but it was not this way, what? From the beginning. That wasn't what I intend. Marriage wasn't intended for you to give your wife divorce your wife, marry this, divorce, why. That wasn't my intent. My intent for marriage is family. Creating a strong family of God, creating a community that is based on good family, creating a nation that is God-fearing. That's my original intent of marriage. But you have used it because you want it to be your tradition. In other words, Jesus said, what was your tradition for a man to give his wife a certificate of divorce? That was never my original intent. I never intended for you to go and divorce your wife or do anything. But because of the hardness of your heart, it became a tradition for you. Not in the kingdom of God. Not in my tradition, Jesus says. Church, it's time to go back to the original intent of God. Christmas has become the most complex and most difficult tradition to tell where facts or truth leaves off and where fiction starts. Where does the truth finish and where does fantasy takes off? That's really where we should be. We are confused with where fate finishes and fantasy begins. Christmas is so confusing that it makes us question the validity of tradition. For example, we got a savior and then a Santa Claus or Satan's Claus. We have reindeers and we got the Lamb of God. We got partying, we got the church. Then on top of it, we have a holiday, not holy day. Check the tradition, my friends. Everything is real close. You got a savior who is the real redeemer, and you got the Satan's claws, which you call Santa Claus. People want to be righteous and still hang on to reindeers. People want to be righteous and still hang on to all this other stuff that's fantasy. Let's get back to the original intent of Christmas. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, in closing this message, I'm calling on all you kingdom people to really understand the truth. Know the truth. Go and study the truth. Don't just listen to anybody. Go study it. Study the message, whatever that they brought to you. Study it. Find what it is. Why are you putting a Christmas tree in your house? Study it. Hallelujah. Why are you putting all these little jingle bells? Study it. Let's separate ourselves from fantasy and get into the truth of the Word of God. And know that we don't just hand our kids tradition and tell them the truth about tradition. The key to tradition is what? Not tradition, but its intentions. It is not the tradition, but it was what it was intended to do. That is keys, my friends. I'll leave you with the true meaning of Christmas, and it's found in our Constitution, which is your Bible, of the kingdom of God. In section Isaiah, subsection 9, article 6, For you religious people, it's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Hallelujah. That's the true meaning of Christmas. Let's read it together. Hallelujah. I'm reading in the King James Version. For unto us a child is born, Jesus. Unto us a son is given, Christ. Hallelujah. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be what? No end, hallelujah. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and in justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Hallelujah. The zeal of the Lord of hosts, the fire inside of God, he says, he will perform this. Let's get back to that zeal. Let's get back to the zeal of the Lord, of understanding what Christmas is all about, understanding what it is and the truth behind it, and bring it to a place where we can raise up some new, amazing, powerful, righteous and holy generation. It can be done, but it got to start inside the family and inside the church. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm done for today.